You're listening to Booth Talk from the Aftermovie Diner. And on this show, we are exceptionally happy and incredibly honored to have a fantastic actor to speak to this time round. You may know him from Thor, or Thor the Dark World, or G.I. Joe Retaliation, or maybe you know him from The Three Musketeers, Kill the Irishman, The Other Guys, The Book of Eli. Maybe you know him from the Insurgent Divergent films as Marcus. But if you are like me and like so many of our listeners, you will definitely know him as the Punisher in the Punisher Warzone. He's starring alongside Samuel L. Jackson in the brand new Big Game. You heard us interview the director our last time on the show. And on this episode, we are absolutely over the moon to speak to Mr. Ray Stevenson. Now, just to again preface this interview, I am not sure what it is or how they reroute the calls, because he's clearly not in LA where the PR person was, and clearly is being rerouted maybe from London, maybe from somewhere else. And what happens is with these things is that you get 10 minutes, the PR company calls you, and you just have to go, boom, 10 minutes, and then you're done. And I had spent a lot of money on an expensive call recorder for my phone. Well, that didn't work. In fact, it embarrassed me hugely at the beginning, but Ray continued like a pro. I was very grateful to him for that. So I couldn't use the call recorder. Luckily, I'd raced home so that I could put the phone on speaker and as a backup record it straight into my microphone, except that whatever they do to reroute the call meant that he was coming through very reedy and thinny and quiet, and I couldn't really hear him very well. So I plowed on with the interview without being able to hear him very well. I think he plowed on with the interview without being able to hear me very well. And I've just spent the last couple of hours running this through several different processes to try and get it to a point where it is listenable. I was initially crushed that this interview didn't come out better and clearer. I think listening to it now the third or fourth time, it's a little better with what I've done to it. And, you know, it was still fantastic to speak to the man. But please, 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 I beg all your kindnesses. Take a listen to this once, take a listen to it twice. Just bear in mind what we had to go through to bring it to you. And thank you ever so much. I will endeavor to get even better equipment and see if that helps. But it sounds to me like it was simply a failure of technology rather than any individual person. So my apologies again. I think it's still a listenable interview. So please enjoy, with my humble gratitude, this interview with Mr. Ray Stevenson. Hello, Ray.
John, how are you?
I'm good, sir, and how are you?
I'm okay. You're very faint, but I don't know how faint I am. That's why.
Yeah, it is coming through very faint, Ray. I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, can you hear me okay, or is it very quiet?
Yes, I can. I can hear you. Yes, that's
really fine. Okay, well, we'll try anyway. So, Rome, the Thor films, The Other Guys, and of course, The Punisher Warzone. I'm a big fan of your work, and now too with Big Game, which I really, really enjoyed. How did the film come to you, and what made you say yes?
You know, I'm delighted to hear that you've got it, because I got sent this script out of the blue by this Finnish director, Jalmari, and you can imagine, right? You read this and you go, hang on, right? I think I've got a hook on it, but I don't. It reads huge, and so you think, you know it's not a big, massive studio picture. Do they have enough money to do it, you know, to get it shot? And then talking to the director and everything, and looking at it, going, and then trying to get a sense of what its place is, where it's directed to, and you think, this is a rites of passage story, and I fell in love with it, and I thought, I like the fact that in amongst this the story of the juvenile lead and Sam Jackson's character, this character that they were asking me if I'd like to play, has to bring. And it's, he can't drop the ball. It's not a comic. It's not a comic role. He's like the foil that is like the sort of low rumbling menace that he's good sort of to have in story. And indeed, that's what the sense I got from it. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it takes itself seriously enough. And I love the audacity of it, of the storytelling.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. It was a great mix of, I felt there was a little sly Hollywood parody in there, but it also had a throwback to old-style action-adventure films, which we haven't seen in a while, coupled with sort of a genuine heart story and, you know, the cultural element as well of Oni's journey. I really enjoyed all those parts about it. What does the director, Jaumeri, sort of bring to the directing that was fresh for you that you hadn't necessarily experienced before?
Have you seen a picture of him? Do you know what he looks like?
Yes, I have, yes.
Right, yeah, so he has this, he's probably going to hate me for this, he's got this elfin-like quality that I imagine him sort of, when he's not making movies, he's off making toys for Santa Claus in Northern Finland. He has this sort of impish sense of humor, but it's coupled with a really great eye and ear for storytelling. And when we were filming, he had his DOP with him. I think his name is Lisa. And shooting on location, we were shooting set pieces with these huge mountain ranges of Southern Germany. It reminded me of when I grew up watching films like On Ryan's Express and Where Eagles Dare, and it wasn't a sort of totally sort of green screen led picture. There was something sort of refreshingly old school and epic about it, and that would just keep you involved and keep you watching.
No, definitely. And what would, as you're saying, it wasn't like a green screen thing. You did a lot of stuff on location shooting in the Alps. What were some of the challenges of that?
Well, obviously we had weather and a lot of the locations. We had to take ski lifts. The one sort of big sort of carousel, carriage ski lift, and then another smaller one. And then on 4x4s to get up into sort of isolated parts. It was just amazing. And then you have to basically shoot what you're dealt with. If it was windy, if it was rainy, if it was windy, and those locations change constantly. In the matter of 10 minutes or 5 minutes, and then it would change back another way. But it added something to the movie. It added, everybody was sort of like just committed to making whatever shot we could get happen, and using and getting the most out of the location as much as the actors would bring to the scene. So, and in a strange sort of way, you're already isolated when you're filming anyway. You're in this kind of like bubble of the production, cast and crew and what have you. But then to disappear into the wilderness, there's this added extra, you sort of get this shared adventure. And it became an adventure, and I think that's what hopefully, and I believe translate across the screen that, what we're trying to put is an adventure, and that it's just a thoroughly enjoyable piece of entertainment.
Definitely, it definitely came across. We really enjoyed it. Now, obviously, you're both part of the Marvel Universe, but you don't share screen time in those films. What was it like to sort of finally be working opposite Samuel L. Jackson? And also just say a little bit about Oni, the incredibly talented nephew of the director, who is just holds the film together and is incredible.
Samuel and I, our paths didn't cross in the Marvel Universe, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen then? I think Marvel Oni. And '43. But it was great to work with him. What we see is what you get. He's just, I think, one of the consummate character leading actors. And he had a delight in movie making. And the guy is so knowledgeable and so informed and erudite and passionate about the business. You start talking about an obscure Polish, a young Polish director or somebody from Kazakhstan that he's been aware of on the Indie Circuit, and it's infectious and it infuses it on his passion. Now, the young actor Oni, who was in the movie and spends the much of all his scenes opposite this huge, colossal movie star. He was just, he brought an honesty and an openness that is rare, but he was able to be tapped into. And I think, his father is a professional actor, as far as I remember. I remember myself and my partner made the flight to Helsinki for the premiere, and only was there for the biggest premiere, the Finnish movie industry has ever had. And his father was on stage that night. And I remember the director going, if it was me, I'd have just thrown a sickie. But obviously, he comes from a movie background, not theatre, and I come from a classical theatre trained background. So you don't throw a sickie when you've got a stage play on.
No.
In Village, in honour of this, whatever, they were going to have a special screening for all the school friends and other friends and family, because it's such a personal problem. And it was just a wonderful research. But only himself was, he just brought an integrity. It wasn't, you never felt he was intimidated by his uncle, although he knows that his uncle, Dalmody, is obviously now, especially one of the leading protagonists of the filmmakers, and then the biggest Hollywood sort of connection from the place. And so he wasn't intimidated by that, and yet he wasn't playful. I think in a weird sort of way, he was exactly suited the character he was playing, because that boy felt it going through naturally his right for passage. So he's right to kind of challenge things and question himself and have all these things. And yet, he's as professional and confident as any actor I've ever worked with. So he was lovely.
Excellent. And you have a big fan base because of the Punisher Warzone, which has become a cult hit. And it started you on a road of doing lots of physical action roles in Hollywood. In Big Game, your character is wounded, but still gets in some scrapes and has some fights. Is action something you've always enjoyed doing? And how fun was it to sort of add the element of the fact that your character needs to do certain action, but also has this, wound, this impediment?
That was central to his role, basically. And I didn't want to make some disgruntled employee. The man honestly believed that he's got this shot at being actually a true patriot, because he believes it's a weak president and he's dying and he's been written off and put out to pasture. And but his patriotism has pushed him into a form of extreme fundamentalism, for want of a better word. And as Oscar Wilde said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But I suppose getting back to the start of your question about the action roles, what I've enjoyed through my career is that when presented with on the page, initially sort of, the two-dimensional, obvious sort of blunt, sort of like, bigger action guy, I've always endeavored to explore a lot more. Nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I'm going to be a bad guy, I'm going to be worse today than I was tomorrow. Nobody thinks I'm going to be the big, tough, bad guy. There's a lot more layers, and I've always endeavored to do that. And what's happened is that filmmakers and the industry and the producers and the students, they've noticed that about me, and it's actually worked, I think, both in my favor. But so, we want this guy to be a bad guy, but we want him multi-layered. And even though, the scripts are paying so much more attention to other characters, they know that I will automatically bring so much more to it. I mean, it's just the way I love to work. I've turned down a lot of stuff, which is, that sort of the obvious sort of bad guy sort of stuff. There's that can't do the tumor, and then you're watching there and what have you. But then you get characters like this, and this man's motivating himself. And you've got to give yourself a direction of credibility. And that actually is spoiled for the other characters, which makes every other character that you're all working with exist, and the vital.
So are you aware of the cult that's grown up around Warzone, and what are your feelings now towards the film?
I approached Warzone, I remember the
very, one of the very first conversations through me into the topics that Alexander was really very keen on me to a role, and very flattered and humble. And I had this meeting with him, and the meeting was going great, but I had had a chance to read some of this book, some of Garth Ennis's writing, look at the 10 gratitude illustrations. I've never come across writing like this before. It's complex and it is depth. And I said to them, I said, you know, there's one thing. I said, you know, this is a violent man doing violent things to violent people. But I'll tell you now, I don't want anybody to walk out of the cinema wanting to beat the Punisher, wanting to beat Frank Castle. And there was a kind of tumbleweed moment. And I explained myself by saying, no, you know, I don't want people tooling up and taking out the bad guys in their life. What if you've got to commit to Frank Castle being in such a remorseless direction that, you know, has pain. There is no there is no sort of end to this. There's no sort of, I don't know what I'm looking for that, but it's like, you know, you're very glad he's there. You can't wait to see what he does because he's on the bad guys, but you don't want to do anything. You know, there's no saving grace for him. He's on his path, and if you don't want to be him, you just kind of carry down. So, and that's what I was asking the blind fans, and the fan base have been phenomenal. People have kept coming to that movie. And I think, if anything, looking back, we were doing the storylines from the original Mass series of the comic book that were already 10 years old, 15 years old. It was potentially, you know, right for contemporizing. But however, it's a very difficult sell, an R-rated comic book character. But I think we gave it a very good shot, and I'm just delighted to be part of the next of Marvel Studios and kind of use that work and to expose fantastic.
Thank you ever so much for your time, Ray. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on the After Movie Diner today.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate
it. Well, that was fantastic. And again, I apologize for the sound quality, but we've done all that we can here. Just to let you know, if you want to read a transcript of that interview, I have written it up on boothtalkamd.blogspot.com. That's AMD for After Movie Diner. boothtalkamd.blogspot.com if you want to read that interview. Don't forget, you can go over to www.aftermoviediner.com to listen to James and myself review the movie Big Game. You can also hear our exclusive interview with the director of that movie on aftermoviediner.com.